and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
So, lots of big events this past weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Did you say, like, was there something else?
Groundhog Day.
Oh, right. We're getting... So, he saw his shadow, so that means spring's coming?
Yes.
He didn't see his shadow. So spring is coming.
But spring is coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently that never happens. Like he always sees a shadow.
Yes.
So big deal, guys.
You know that they claim it's the same groundhog since forever. Like it's not. We know it's not, but they say it is.
Right.
Like it's like.
What? Well, that's a weird thing to claim.
Like the eternal groundhog. Wait. Also, the guy that gets. Yeah, he's not an eternal groundhog.
What?
Yeah. Groundhogs are mortal.
What? Oh, I thought he was special because it's his day. I just thought.
It's just like a Groundhog's Day. It's not the Groundhog's Day.
Well, they don't specify. The only one there is. We have one groundhog, and he begins the spring.
It has been unseasonably warm here since Groundhog's Day, though.
I think the groundhog just heard about global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The groundhog got woke.
Yeah, he just came out and he was like, y'all don't really need me anymore. You kind of got this handling it yourself. There's really no guessing on this anymore. It's going to be forever spring for a while, then forever summer. Then everything's going to be on fire. Groundhog out.
In fact, no more winter ever.
I'm going to get back in my stump now. Would you leave me alone?
It's pretty good under here. Will y'all just not get me out next year?
As the eternal groundhog, I'm going to wait out the end of humanity for a while. Like, you know, it's just...
What does he do during the year?
I like the idea that, well, I mean, he just, like, groundhog stuff.
Just groundhog stuff.
He doesn't live lavishly? I feel like it's his day. He should, you know...
Now, I will say, the guy that handles him does wear a top hat, so I would assume there's a lot of wealth involved.
I know, that's why I...
He's like a cat in ancient Egypt.
Why doesn't kind of he get to wear a top hat?
I don't know. I like the idea that the groundhog has now been elevated to, like, a mythological holiday figure, like the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or the Great Pumpkin.
Was that one of the trees in, like, Nightmare Before Christmas to go to Groundhog's Day land? What would that be like?
See the giant groundhog?
It's just the groundhog. He's like, oh, hey, no one ever comes here, actually. It's nice to see you.
I just do that one thing, and, you know, honestly, people are really more excited about the Bill Murray movie anymore. Yeah. So
I was just trying to look at some good pictures. I just looked up groundhog from Groundhog Day, and first it told me about the Bill Murray movie, and I didn't really want to know about that. But then it's just a Washington Post article that calls Punxsutawney Phil 131-year-old fake news, and, like, I don't need that, guys. Just let me see the groundhog.
Just let me have my groundhog.
Just let me see the groundhog. Also, I thought his name was Pete.
No, Phil.
What?
Who's Punxsutawney Pete?
I have no idea.
Pete?
Why did I think his name was Pete?
Who is Punxsutawney Pete?
Someone tell me, please.
Are you? Is this a Berenstain Bear situation? Are you from another universe that merged into ours where you would have a crush?
I think I am.
It's Fringe. Fringe is coming to life.
Oh, no.
Oh, is Peter Bishop real now? Where are you, Peter? I'm here.
Do you have any different government going on over in that universe, Riley? Could we? Maybe?
No, it's all bad over here.
Do you have Faux Livia over there? Because I like Faux Livia.
No, everything sucks here, too. The only thing I have is Punxsutawney Phil. And he looks exactly the same as Punxsutawney Pete, does everything the same. We just call him Phil.
Have you seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's
they
also
call him Phil, and then Bill Murray's name is Phil.
Is that why I think his name is Phil?
No, his name is Phil.
His name is Phil.
Yes.
Wait, his name's Pete.
No, his name is not Pete. His name is Phil. Phil. Phil Connors.
You know, it was a musical for a very short amount of time.
Yes. I would like to see that.
Would you?
Yeah. I love that. It's one of my favorite movies. I love that movie.
I'm going to write a new one and call it Punxsutawney Pete.
One of my favorite movies inexplicably contains Andy McDowell. I don't know. But also Bill Murray. So there you go.
Did the groundhog do the halftime show?
No. The halftime show, Why
have they never done that?
Now the Super Bowl is not traditionally on Groundhog's Day. It just happened to be on.
But this year it was. And I just want to know why he didn't make just like a real quick appearance.
Well, I mean, maybe they ran it by J-Lo and Shakira and they were like, you know, I don't think we want to incorporate a groundhog into our show. Thank you for thinking of that. We've got it. We're good. We're doing some other stuff that isn't really groundhog related that I think people might enjoy more.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it more.
That's fair. I did very much enjoy the halftime show.
I thought it was great all around, but the moment that they panned out to show Shakira playing the crystal encrusted guitar was just like, this is wonderful.
Well, yeah. And I thought it was awesome. I thought it was amazing. J-Lo's athleticism is just
better than mine will ever be. And I am 19 years old and she's 50.
She's 50. She's amazing. I'm sorry, but to do that stuff on those poles, I mean, there were other dancers too, but J-Lo is just, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's magic.
It is. Well, and the strength that takes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's an athletic skill that was in the middle of an athletic competition.
Yeah.
I was impressed and, I mean, turned on.
Well, all right. Well, yeah, that's okay.
It was all very hot.
That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, Shakira was there too.
Yeah.
It was an incredible performance. It was so cool and so fun. And then they had so many political references and when she came out at the end with like the big like cape thing or coat or whatever it was, that was like the Puerto Rican flag and the American flag. It was amazing. It was awesome.
No, I agree. And I really don't. I all of the pearl clutching over how sexy it was. Like,
it was too sexy.
Look, we had to...
You know what? That's a fair argument. It was maybe too sexy.
For Earth.
For us to handle. Like, I'm not offended by it. I just think it was maybe too much for us to handle.
Like, maybe we didn't deserve it.
We didn't deserve
it. We definitely didn't deserve it. I don't know. Is that... Like, they were the equivalents of, like, bathing suits that they were walking around stage on. Like, what's the big deal? If we had to see Maroon 5 walk around looking like a doodle bear with his shirt off, last year, they can handle some glittery ladies.
I do appreciate the thought that Adam Levine's name now is just collectively Maroon 5. He is Maroon 5.
Yeah. And it was so much better, I mean, than Maroon 5. It was.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was really caught off guard because... I usually feel like I know when something happens, like when we have a cultural moment that like Karens are going to get upset about. Mm-hmm. I usually feel like I know when that's coming. And I didn't, I was shocked when I saw the Facebook and Twitter outrage. Because one, like, I mean, yeah, it was sexy. I mean, like it was a cool
Why don't
show.
You enjoy like this more? Did you see them?
Performance. That's what I mean. Have you ever seen a concert? Like that's the kind of stuff people wear. It's like glittery and cool, and they dance, and they're talented, and they sing well. And like, what? This is a concert. Like, what are you? Have you never been to one? Is this the first time you've
seen
a concert?
Haven't.
I just don't. There was nothing about it that struck me as like, I don't know. I was very confused by it. And then people were like, but my children were watching. And I was like, yeah, my kids were watching. And they
loved it.
They danced all over the room. And then Charlie said that she loved J-Lo's pants, which was confusing to me.
She was not wearing.
Because she wasn't exactly wearing what I would call pants. But she said, I want those pants. And I was like, what pants?
Where?
But, sure, honey. I don't know. Like, none of it. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, never heard. I don't know. They were empowered, you know, like women of color. Let's be real. That people get offended really easier or a lot easier when it's not white people doing things.
Sure.
The yes, one thing yes, I do. Was upset about was that it was not the entire show, and I did have to go back to watching sweaty boys run into each other all over the field for the next half of the. Program.
I like football.
Well, I also like football, and I was enjoying the game, but then they showed me that halftime show. I was like, well, can that just be the rest
that
of the...
That was better. Yes, that was better.
Can
than
I
the
just
football.
Watch this the rest of the time, please? Thank you.
Yeah. That was better than the football.
Yeah.
Although it was a good game. It was a good game, and I liked both teams, and just... That sound like dad. Just want to see a good game.
Yeah.
I don't care who wins. Like the teams just want to see who wins. Or just want to see a good game. Anyway, speaking of, I don't know, I got nothing here for this transition. Tay, you're going to have to help here.
Powerful women. In great costumes.
Who maybe don't wear pants.
Yes. Who have a pants optional approach to life.
Yes. Sailor Moon. We're talking about Sailor Moon today. I brought it to the table.
Thank you.
Yes. Hopefully, if you're listening, you're somewhat familiar. It's a pretty, I think a lot of people are familiar with Sailor Moon. It's an anime. It's a manga or comic book. It started in like 91.
That's what I was going to ask. How old is it?
The manga and the anime started, I think, in the same year, because it's kind of started as a manga by Naoko Takeuchi, is the creator. And she created it, but it was kind of at the same time sort of working with an animation studio for it to then be developed into a cartoon. Specifically, I mean, there's the manga, there are stage shows, like musical shows, there's a remake that came out in 2014 that's like an update of the animation, which is storyline a lot closer to the manga because there are some differences. There was also a live-action TV show in Japan. So there are a lot of different incarnations of this. Specifically for this, we're kind of talking about the one that I was first introduced to, which was the 90s dub, which is of questionable quality, but holds a special place in my heart.
Which came on, I want to say, at 4 o'clock on weekdays.
Yes. It originally was on like in the mornings, but then when Toonami became a thing on Cartoon Network, Toonami started showing it, and that's when it was 4 o'clock.
I remember rushing home, 4 o'clock Eastern time, rushing home to see Sailor Moon every day after school.
Yes.
And then I think Dragon Ball Z came on afterwards.
I believe so. I could never really get as much into Dragon Ball.
I didn't either, but I just remember it always like watching the first 30 seconds before I turned the TV off and did something else.
I'm
just saying, it wasn't my thing. It wasn't my bag.
You know, I think when important things come into your life, you remember those moments, even if they seem innocuous at the time. And I remember exactly what I was doing the first time I saw Sailor Moon. Like,
really?
To the moment. I was in my bedroom. I was putting on my softball socks because I had softball practice and I needed to leave and we were running late. And it was the episode, the kind of stupid American translated title was Slim City. It's from the first season when the evil people who want to take energy set up a fake workout studio. Uh-huh. And like Sailor Moon and her friends end up going and, you know, foiling the evil plot. But that was the episode. And I was late to softball practice that day because I wanted to see what happened.
That's funny. I watched a bit of that. I was flipping through some different episodes today, watching bits and pieces to remind myself of some of it. And that was one of the ones I was watching today. Then I had to flip to the end of season one because I remember watching that originally and crying. And so I had to remember, I had to watch it again and be like, does this still do it for me?
Did it?
No, I did not cry.
See, I did. I recently did a rewatch and I definitely cried.
If I had watched the entire season and built to it, probably, but I was skipping around, so I wasn't like emotionally there.
I will say I have always been aware of Sailor Moon. It has always been in my, you know, my mind because I've heard you all talk about it mostly. And I remember growing up, I had received a tiny little Chibi Moon tape to my front or my bedroom door. To match the what Sailor Scouts were on your all's door? There was one on each of your doors.
Oh, and that's
at some
right.
point I received a Chibi Moon on my door.
I was Mars.
I had Sailor Moon on my door.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure you had Sailor Moon on your door.
Those were those stickers. The holographic stickers that I got from the Archie McPhee catalog. that was one of the few sources where you could find some random anime stuff back in the day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I've always been aware of Sailor Moon, but I actually had never consumed it in any form until when Crystal became available a few years ago. I guess it was 2014. Mm-hmm. It seems not that long ago, but I guess it was. I watched a few episodes then and then just rewatched it this past week in preparation for this. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, I will admit, the only anime I have ever actually watched. Mm-hmm. And I very much enjoy it. I don't think that there was ever anything about anime that I didn't want to watch. I just think it was one of those things that was never like very readily available to watch as much as like other cartoons or regular like teen kids TV shows that mm-hmm. were, you know, American made. So I just never like had as much access to it, but it was very good. I very much enjoyed it.
Is that the beginning of like the kind of the magic girls in anime? Is that the
No, I mean they were Sailor Moon is not the first magic girl. That was already sort of a pre-existing genre. I think that when we talk about magic girls now, she's the one that is the most well known. But magic girls had already been around for a while in Japanese anime.
That's I always think of it because I see shows sometimes now that Charlie watches, and I feel like I'm watching. I'm going, oh, this is supposed to be this is Sailor Moon inspired. Mm-hmm. Like this is very. I feel Sailor Moon in it, but I guess I guess I'm not. It's not necessarily Sailor Moon. It's what I attach to that genre, but it's not necessarily the original.
It's definitely it's the one that I think you see most as an influence in what we have like modern day a lot of American cartoons. I mean, definitely like. There are straight up homages to it in Adventure Time, Steven Universe. Definitely, I'm sure. I think it's. I've read it in interviews that all of those creators are influenced by Sailor Moon. But you know, and the one thing that it did do, which is sort of the formula that a lot of people have taken to move forward with, is like it combined the sort of magic girl icon that was already sort of established with the like the fighting team formula, and that's really the thing that Sailor Moon. Sort of revolutionized. There were other, you know, like fighting team animes, but to be like an all-female fighting team anime was kind of the thing that it did differently.
And it was always nice. I remember being, when I was younger, to have a show like that. And it wasn't the only, I mean, you see a lot of stuff that's targeted, I think, at like preteen and teenage girls that has this idea of like a team of young women who have varied, very varied interests and attributes so that you can find one that you relate to. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I really liked about it was like, I didn't really like the character Sailor Moon. I couldn't identify with personally a lot. I didn't share a lot of her like personality traits and interests, but there were plenty of other characters for me to connect with, you know, that I could see myself in and be part of the team.
Well, and I think that was one of the things that really appealed to me and appealed to, I think, a lot of young girls in general was that it, as a fan, even at the time, I was already a fan of, like, I liked superheroes, I liked comics, but as far as, like, there was always, like, a female, and that's the female, there's the female one, you know? Mm-hmm. So the women were always kind of one thing in the sort of superhero world. And that was what was so great about Sailor Moon is that well, they're all female and they all have different attributes. And it does, there's not just one kind that works. And it's not just like, you know, powerful, sexy, capable, strong, but not too overbearing. Like it was like, oh, they all have flaws and strengths and weaknesses. And that's.
I always liked that. It's weird because I was thinking about I always connected the most with Rey, Sailor Mars, and. You'd think, like, when I think back, like, why not Amy? Why not Sailor Mercury, the smart one? Because that was how I always saw myself when I was younger, was like, well, I'm the quiet, smart girl. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my part. I'll sit here and read a book quietly, because that seems to be...
Yeah.
That seems to be what my character does in this scene. Does everybody think about things that way?
Yeah. Especially when I'm...
In this scene, I sit and read a book.
When I'm surrounded, like, by my other roommates, and we're all, like... talking, but it's like, look at each of our personalities. What is my character doing right now?
Right. Yeah.
I'm eating lunch alone and reading a book. This is appropriate. But I always connected more with Sailor Mars, and I remember really embracing that because she was so angry. She had that. I mean, like, she showed her anger, and I remember thinking, like, oh, that's me. And then thinking, well, it's not me, though. I don't do that. And then realizing, oh, but that is me. And I feel like I can't show that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a stifled part of me. And I see it in that character in this, you know, in this TV show.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to be more like that because it is me. Like, it is in there. And she lets it out. And it's part of her power. It is literally part of her, like, her, you know, magical ability is kind of represented in her fire and her kind of under the surface rage.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe I can embrace that part of me too. I know that sounds really silly for like connecting to a, you know, it was a cartoon, but like it really did. I remember thinking like, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the quiet, shy one. Mm-hmm. This is me.
I will say had never really thought about what Sailor Scout I was until we had thought about each of us dressing as a different Sailor Scout for a live show that we did not end up doing. But I decided I was Sailor Mercury just based off the descriptions because this was when I hadn't really watched a lot of it. And I did just take a BuzzFeed quiz that told me it would actually tell me which Sailor Scout I am. And it did tell me I'm Sailor Mercury.
Well, there we go.
So in case everyone was wondering.
Did you always know you were a Sailor Moon, Tay?
I don't know. I mean, I always... Well, I think that when I was younger, I felt closest to Sailor Moon because, you know, I legitimately remember, like, doing really badly on a math test and comforting myself with, well, Sailor Moon gets bad grades sometimes, too.
It's fine. Like, look at her now.
She got a 30 once. I got a 50. It's not that bad. But I think also just, like, you know, the idea that you're, you know, like all of the other soldiers had more like evident kind of strengths. You know, Mercury was smart, Mars was passionate, Jupiter was strong, Venus was she was the superstar when she came, when she joined the team.
She was like cool and
I mean
fashion-y. I don't know.
Well, cool and fashion-y.
What was it?
Venus was very confident.
She had the social skills. Yeah. She was, she had the social skills. She was the one who, like, she was charismatic and she could make you feel, like, at ease. And
well, not,
that's an important power. That's an important
skill. Absolutely. But you know, Sailor Moon didn't have anything evident because what her power was her, it was her kindness. It was her belief in her friends, you know, her belief in goodness. And I really loved that about her as a character because it was held up in the show. In fact, it was the strongest power in the show. And that, I think, as someone at the time that didn't feel like I had any of those other standout traits, but, you know, I cared about things and people and I was sensitive, that felt like someone that kind of affirmed those things.
Yeah.
She was the heart.
Yeah. Mm.
But not like on Captain Planet where it was always like, what is your power
even?
Well,
it's still the power.
We need to talk more about like the show itself and kind of get into some more of the details. But before we do that,
let's check the group message. I have a sponsor I want to talk about this week.
Go for it.
So Sydney.
Yes.
You're a small business owner.
No.
Just say you are.
Oh, yes. I am a small business owner.
And you got into your line of work because of your passion for your job. But is tedious admin work keeping you from doing the part of the job you actually love?
Oh, boy, it is. I can't even tell you.
Well,
my small business, which I named Small Business.
Incorporated.
I do business in small things.
Yes. You deal in tiny items.
I only sell tiny items from my small business.
Well, HoneyBook can take those tasks off your to-do list so you can focus on selling your tiny items.
Oh, thank goodness.
The thing you actually love. Because HoneyBook...
I have so many. I can't even tell. I can fit so many in my store because they're so tiny.
HoneyBook is an online business management tool that organizes your client communications, bookings, contracts, and invoices all in one place. It's perfect for freelancers, entrepreneurs, or literally small business owners that want to consolidate services they already use, like QuickBooks, Google, Excel, MailChimp. Basically, it just simplifies your to-do list and helps you stay in control with HoneyBook. So it does all that stuff for you so you can, you know, focus on the stuff you actually care about. Do the things you want to do, not all the tedious stuff. So, Tay, if our listeners want to check out HoneyBook, what should they do?
Well, right now, HoneyBook is offering our listeners 50% off when you visit tryhoneybook.com/buffering. Payment is flexible, and this promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. So go to tryhoneybook.com/buffering for 50% off your first year. That's tryhoneybook.com/buffering.
I want to tell you all about my pants.
Okay.
All right.
I like pants myself. I have, as we've already covered, I fully approve of you if you prefer not to wear pants, but I am a pants fan. Mm-hmm. I've always liked pants. And sure. Specifically pants that I can, like, multifunctional pants that I can wear to work, that I am
at
comfortable.
At your small business?
At my small business where I sell tiny things. Small mm-hmm. business, small business. Can wear them at work. I can wear them at home when I'm chasing the kids around. I can maybe even dress them up, wear them out to dinner, wherever I want to go. And Beta Brand has those pants.
What?
Yes, they do. And they'll sell them to you for money.
What?
You can buy them and
a
then
service?
You can wear them.
And a good?
It's a service and a good. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga. I can't sing their praises enough because I already owned them long before they started advertising on our show. Mm-hmm. I really did. I found them from a bunch of other doctor moms recommending them, that they were great for, like, you wouldn't think that doctoring is an action job.
I get it.
But like I'm sometimes crawling around on the floor looking at feet and doing a lot of stuff. And
yeah, gross.
Just saying. Anyway, I don't have to, sacrifice comfort for function or style
yeah.
when I am wearing Beta Brand pants, because they look great. They're super comfy. They're very stretchy. They're wrinkle free. I can crawl around after my kids, and I mean, I still look like I'm dressed nicely for work. They have lots of colors, patterns, cuts, styles. They've got bootlegs, straight legs, skinny, cropped. They have premium denim, and they have ones with pockets. That's my next thing I got to get. I got to get some of the ones. I know. I got to get some of the ones with pockets, because they really are. They are my, like, go-to work pant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been for a long time, so I would highly recommend, if you like me were looking for that kind of multifunctional pant, Beta Brand has got them. And Taylor, if our listeners want to get these great pants, where's the
well right now our listeners can get 20% off their first order if you go to betabrand.com/buffering. That's 20% off your first order at betabrand.com/buffering. Millions of women agree these are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. Go to betabrand.com/buffering for 20% off now.
Now.
It's always interesting to me when I ask people about Sailor Moon, like, how many people who didn't necessarily watch anime or engage with manga or anything like that are familiar with Sailor Moon and watch Sailor Moon, at least some.
Yeah.
I feel like it really permeated our culture.
I agree. I mean, it was definitely it was a cultural event. It's one of the things that I think definitely opened the door for the popularity of anime culture that is so massive now. But I think one thing that, you know, we can't go without mentioning is that I think for a lot of young queer people, it was really impacting, and people that were coming into their identities just because of especially in, you know, later seasons when you have, like, the openly gay scouts introduced. I think mm-hmm. that there were a lot of elements there. And I've only really kind of thought about it in that context by meeting other people that said, you know, that was really big in my recognition of, like, my gender identity or my sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that was because it's not only that you had characters that were out and open. I mean, and you also had them on the bad guys, too. Like, they were gay characters and you know, characters whose gender identity was not strict, really. And in the world of that Sailor Moon existed in, no one really cared. Like,
yeah,
I love the episode where Makoto, I wouldn't really say that it's that she has a crush on Haruka, who is the sort of, like, and I guess androgynous, like, presents as both male and female depending on her mood, Sailor Scout. And Makoto has a crush on her, and the other scouts are really concerned, not because, oh no, maybe Mako's gay, it's because Sailor Uranus already has a girlfriend. So they're like, no, that's not a good idea. She has somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that's the conflict. And then, you know, and then kind of at the end of the episode, you see that it's that Makoto saw something in Haruka that she just really admired, and it helped her try to look at, like, becoming a more confident version of herself. as somebody who's like strong and capable. And I think that that's just, you know, that the message in there is it's so many good things that, you know, young people want to see and need to see, that queer people can exist and that's not their storyline, you know? Yeah, because that, yes, that was, we had queer people, we had gay people on TV in the 90s, but you didn't see them where it wasn't the whole point of their existence. You know, it was like, they're gay, so they have a tragic gay storyline. Everything's about them being gay. And Sailor Moon was like, what? These are boys. They turn into girls. We don't care. They have superpowers. Look at the bad guy. Like, it's not a big deal.
It's really true, especially at that time. I mean, yes, there were non-straight characters on television, but not very many. And you're right, that was the whole thing. If they were introduced, that was why. That was their mm-hmm. existence on the TV show was usually because, you know, they were gay. And you certainly didn't have a lot of shows that were aimed at younger audiences.
Yeah.
That would include any characters who, you know, were LGBTQ, who had any kind of gender representation that wasn't very, you know, very clearly like cisgender female, mm-hmm. cisgender male. You didn't see that aimed at kids. And I remember you and I watching it, and in the American dubbed version, they tried to, what did they make Sailor Uranus and Neptune cousins or something?
And that's, so I guess they thought, well, we'll just make them cousins, but we'll leave in all of the obvious flirting that they do with each other and with all other characters in the show. And yes, all that made it seem like, wait, are they cousins that are into each other? Like, because the attraction between them was inherent. You couldn't really write that out. Definitely at that time when like that was released in America, I had already seeked out like fan subs and had experienced that. But it was, I don't know.
Why would they do that?
The 90s.
So silly. Oh,
they did a lot with those, because there was a lot there. I mean, it was really revolutionary for its time. I mean, this, you know, was airing through, I think, 97 in Japan. But, you know, it was being translated in the 90s, and it became popular internationally. Like, I read that in Italy, they didn't know how to deal with the starlights, so they created a narrative. The starlights are, in the manga, they're just, I believe that they're female characters that can also, or that disguise themselves as male when they're mm-hmm. on Earth. Now, in the anime, it's just, they just, you know, they're men, and when they transform, they're women, and that is it, and that's what they are. In Italy, they didn't know how to work with that, so they made it so that when the men transformed, they summoned their sisters, their twin sisters, who took over. So they created, two characters out of each one.
Where did the men go? To like a void? Like another void where they sit and wait?
I guess, I don't know.
A kind of limbo.
I mean, that was part of the reason that the American dub took so long, both with processing, what do we do with Uranus and Neptune, and then, oh no, the starlights. But I mean, even you had like, you know, Zoisite and Kunzite, who were two males in mm-hmm. the original Japanese, and they were gay, they were in love, and they just I like that their version of, like, it was Zoisite, and then they changed it to Zoisite. I guess that did that feminize the name? I don't know.
They just made it a female character. I remember that. Character. I remember that.
And then they did the same thing mm-hmm. When they finally translated Super S. You have Hawk's Eye, Tiger's Eye, and Fish Eye. And Fish Eye is a male. Uses he, him pronouns, but also likes to dress in drag. And they just made it a female. But I was saying, like, for the time, like, Naoko Takeuchi really devised a universe with all of this part of it and just said, yeah, this is what I'm mm-hmm. doing. These are all parts of the story. Like, this is the story I want to tell, which you really mm-hmm. have to commend her for that. And the fact that it grew to such a, it became so big that people had to deal with these things. People were exposed to them, which was important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think, like, I look back on it and I was thinking about it a lot. Like, it's too bad that, you know, whoever was making the decisions, whatever, what level it was at, network or whatever, to do the dubs and try to, like, change these things when they brought them over here. At first, I was thinking, like, oh, it's so stupid. It makes me angry. And then I thought, like, there is something there that makes me wonder if there wasn't, like, an intentional subversive element to it. Because it's not, first of all, we weren't falling for anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember watching and thinking, we're missing something.
Yeah.
Like, something is missing here in this translation. I'm not getting the whole story. And I remember you and I seeking out all of the other, like the original subtitled content, so that we could figure out what we were missing and then learning what they were trying to hide. And one, just wanting to see more of the original now, because I want the story as it's meant to be told, mm-hmm. not this falsified version that's trying to cover things up. And two, I remember thinking like, that's so awful. I remember thinking that as like, how old were we? Like 12, 13, 14?
I was in middle school, like maybe.
Yeah. I remember thinking, that's so awful that they would do that. Mm-hmm. That they would think that as kids, we can't be exposed to the fact that there are lesbians in the world. Like, that's so terrible. You know, what about kids who aren't straight? Like, I remember having those thoughts because of the action that was taken. And then I think like, well, huh. I guess it did all that by introducing it. Not that it's right. Obviously, it should just have been presented the way that it was written. Yeah. But like it did all that to me as a young person, because they tried to censor it because of the way it was. I don't know. Just bringing it here and showing it on American television was a very powerful mm-hmm. act, even if I don't like the way they did it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it happened, because it really, I remember that they cut it off. Do you remember the original run of it? They cut it off before the Sailor Stars came on. And just started over.
Oh yeah, they never dubbed those the sailor starlights,
because like I assume because they just had no clue what mm-hmm. to do. But it just made us go find it. Like that's all it did. It just made us go like, okay, well, fine, we'll go buy some some subs off the budding internet. we'll get some VHS tapes.
Oh my gosh,
those were. The days of anybody that knows this reference, it's going to date all of us. The anime Turnpike on the internet. that's where you went, which is just a bunch of links to take you to not like Riley. This was not where you could go find like streaming episodes. Like that was not a thing.
Yeah.
You could go and find like people that had written up synopses of every episode. And like, you know, I would print those off and I kept them in a binder. Like I had a binder full of every episode of Sailor Moon, all the 200 episodes, like in synopsis. So the ones that I couldn't see, I could at least understand what happened. And like,
read the plot lines.
Print off each character and like have character sheets that I would lovingly hand make, like print off a picture of the character mm-hmm. and then hand write information about them. Like mm-hmm. it was, you know, like that's true, Sid, because even if there was a lot of editing to it, it led us all to find what it really was. And, you know, one thing that I'm just now thinking about is that it also, because it was still a kid's show. So, you know, I also think that at the time where maybe, because when it came to like sex stuff, I was not interested. And I feel like to have queer characters in media, it was still always in like an adult format. Like it would not have been in a kid's show, which I wasn't comfortable with sex yet, but that didn't mean that I wasn't comfortable with having a broader understanding of sexual identities or gender identities. And it provided those without being in an adult package or like having sex tied mm-hmm. to it, which it's not always tied to your gender or your mm-hmm. sexual identity.
Mm-hmm. It really was like a trail of breadcrumbs. I mean, it was for us to follow to something that we knew there was something else on the other end of it. Mm-hmm. And it was just enough, which I mean, like there's a part of me that is optimistic and hopeful and likes to believe someone who was making decisions knew they were doing.
Right.
Perhaps that is too optimistic to believe. Yeah. Perhaps it was all an accident and they were trying to censor us and they didn't do a very good job. But I like to think that it was somebody who was going, I'm just going to, you're going to find this. All the queer kids are going to follow this trail because it's here and it's waiting for you. I can't just hand it to you. I'm not allowed to yet. Someday it'll happen. But right now I'm going to leave this little trail for you to follow.
And I think I think the show itself in its original form very much like, it's kind of funny because I feel like it has the same build that a show like Adventure Time and Steven Universe both have, in that it starts off like, this is a silly cartoon for kids, it's fun, and then becomes something that is so much bigger and deeper. And it mm-hmm. almost like gets past like that, like when your parents are like, what are you watching? And they're like, you know, if you were to watch the first, I'd say 10 episodes of like the original Sailor Moon, it's so goofy. It's so like, you know, yeah. the episodes are about, like, they want to, like, this one is, this demon is attacking a jewelry store, and this one's attacking, like, yeah. the salon. Like, it's quote-unquote girl stuff, and it's about boys, and, like, you know, it's yeah. so, like, safe that by the time, like, it's, you're into it, you're watching it, you like it, then it starts kind of introducing, like, oh, hey, but you know what? Like, there's deeper stuff here. I mean, it's not just... it's about, like, identities, but also just, like, you know, some of the stuff that Sailor Moon has to grapple with. It's not just, like, I fight bad guys because bad guys are bad. It's like, oh, but there's a lot of redemption in the bad guys, you know? You mm-hmm. see a lot of people that, mm-hmm. that Sailor Moon helps turn back to the side of goodness. Like, it's not just traditional superhero stuff like that. There's a lot about, you know, people having a second chance, and that, you know, like, it's not always force and fighting that can save the day. Sometimes it's love and forgiveness, and... like, you know, I feel like modern cartoons that hold that same kind of, you know, how deep Adventure Time gets and how deep Steven Universe gets, it's like they kind of brought you into a safe place and then exposed you to really good things. Like, yeah.
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 No, I think that's true. I was watching the end of the season one, which I guess this is a spoiler. I guess.
No, Sydney, how could you?
I was watching it today, and it was when she's fighting Queen Beryl, and the idea is that, like, the evil thing that's going to happen on Earth is everybody's going to be enveloped in greed and hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we're going to destroy the world. We're not going to blow it up or something. We're going to mm-hmm. make everybody hate each other and fight and mm-hmm. be greedy and not be led by love. And the thing she's trying to do is, I mean, like, literally one of her powers is healing, but, like, the thing she's trying to do is make people believe in love again. Like, I need everybody to have faith in love, that love can help us. And it was just, like, I was watching it and I was thinking, like, with my adult brain, those are very complicated and powerful concepts. This isn't about, I want to be in charge of the world
mm-hmm.
and so that I can be, like, rich and powerful.
Right.
And you want to keep the world status quo the way it is. This is about hate and love. This is about, like, greed versus giving. I was watching it thinking, like, these are very, like, powerful concepts to be yeah. addressing in a cartoon format.
Watching it back, it made me wish that I would have watched it or been introduced to it, like, more regularly at a younger age, because I feel like the cartoons I grew up watching, none of them, I mean, like, the closest thing I had to, like, a fighting group that I watched regularly, like, that, like, fighting bad guys was the Power Rangers, and I watched them growing up, but there was the, what, one female? Two? Yeah.
Two.
Two. But, you know, it wasn't about them, and their thing, I feel like, that I got from it was that they were girls. Like, mm-hmm. that was their thing for being in the group. They were the girls. And I watched Teen Titans, but they weren't, like people I could as much relate to, because they were all, like, super supernatural, like,
right.
you know.
Sure.
And they were great shows, but I didn't have, like, a strong female group that was diverse and about them being powerful women to watch. I don't know. It was very powerful watching it back. I wish I would have watched at a younger age. I know that I was enough aware of it. I was having this memory as we were talking about this, that when I was in the second grade, so I was probably, like, seven, I, for the talent show, choreographed a dance for me and, like, four of my other girlfriends to the Sailor Moon theme song. And we all picked a different Sailor Scout and wore, like, coordinating, like, colored shirt and skirt to match that Sailor Scout. And then we danced Sailor Moon theme song.
Who were you?
I was Sailor Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Because this was really my reasoning. She had brown hair and brown eyes. And I also had brown hair and brown eyes.
Riley, the most literal of the three of us.
Like, I had never watched it, so I didn't really know their personalities. And I knew that, like, I had a blonde friend. She would be Sailor Moon, mm-hmm. of course, because she was blonde. And I was brunette, and I had brown eyes, so I would be Sailor Jupiter.
Sure.
Like, that was my whole thing.
And I always think of you as so sporty yeah. and strong.
Right.
And you love to bake.
Now I know better.
Yes, your baking abilities. I forgot about that. Sailor Jupiter's baking abilities.
I do bake, but I am not sporty.
I dressed as Sailor Moon once for costume day at school in high school. Mm-hmm. And there was a picture of me in the school newspaper the next day. And they called me Wonder Woman.
You were wearing my Halloween costume also, I would add.
Yes, I was.
I did have all, yeah. We had trick-or-treated 1 year with, we had all five Sailor Senshi represented.
We still have that picture really somewhere. Pictures. It's a good picture.
But you know, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, fun fact, that day when I was dressed as Sailor Moon, mm-hmm. do you know who I was sitting next to in class?
Justin.
Wow. He was dressed as a cow. All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Well,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I was going to say, like, that's, you know, thinking about the team structure as kind of something that set it apart, I think that was one thing, like, it's such a theme in a lot of works about, like, superhero stuff where, you know, it's up to you to save the day, like, you sometimes, like, on your own, like, by yourself. And that kind of concept of, like, her strength comes from her love for her friends. And, like, that's really, like, it's mm-hmm. not just this, like, I'm the hero, so I must, you know, I'm not connected to the world. I must stand outside of it and protect it. It's like, no, she is capable of having power because she loves and she's loved. And it's directly tied. Like, even when her friends, you know, even when, like, in the end of the first season when they all die, they're still there beside her in her memories of them. And that's, mm-hmm. I think that's really mm-hmm. beautiful too, because it kind of takes that idea around like the all powerful one savior. And it's like, now she's a savior because of her friends. Which makes me think, like, I've said this before, I feel like Joss Whedon was aware of Buffy or was aware of Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's very Buffy. Yeah. She actually, in that episode, says, why can't I just be a regular mm-hmm. girl? And for a moment, I thought, oh, she's Buffy. It's Buffy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Sailor Moon came first. But, like,
that.
This is,
right.
This had to have helped inspire Buffy.
You know, like, there's that. There's, you know, the Scoobies are the reason that, you know, Buffy has powers.
Yes.
Sailor Moon has the Scouts. Mm-hmm. A boyfriend that goes to the side of darkness that she ultimately has to fight. Younger sibling that appears out of nowhere who her family has false memories implanted that exists in the family. I mean, come on.
Wow. I'm going to write my final essay this year for my English class about this.
I think that there's a... And I was like, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, it's... I don't know. I'd have a hard time believing that Joss Whedon did not...
Conspiracy.
Have some understanding of Sailor Moon.
The next time I have a chat with Marty Noxon, right. I'm going to have to ask her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think I was trying to think, and the last thing I will say, I was trying to think of a character that felt the same to me growing up watching cartoons or TV shows. And I think you've mentioned Adventure Time a few times, but that was like my cartoon growing up, because it became a big thing when I was in like middle school. And that was like, I remember coming home and watching that every day. And I think Princess Bubblegum on Adventure Time and Marceline are the closest two characters I had to like Sailor Moon-esque characters, because they were smart and they were strong and they had their own personalities, and it was never their story that they were like just there for a boy. Mm-hmm. Like they were their own mm-hmm. thing. And then eventually there was like the whole squad of princesses in the Adventure Time universe that were very reminiscent of Sailor Scouts. So
yeah, absolutely.
That was it though.
Well, I love that when Fiona and Cake in one of those episodes, mm-hmm. Fiona actually has Princess Serenity's dress on for like a dance or something.
Yeah.
So it is, it's definitely some love back and forth. And I think also in that sense that it's a hero's journey about like coming of age, about the importance of accepting loss just as much winning, about forgiving as much as it is conquering. Like they have a lot of the same themes. I love Adventure Time too. And it's one of the first cartoons that I've loved on level to Sailor Moon.
Yeah. It's real good.
And it lives on in Charlie in her Chibi Moon costume that you got her. That's
so
like
happy.
The real deal.
Oh, yeah.
She looks so cute in it.
That is a cosplay. That is more than a costume.
She loves it. She wore to the store with us the other day.
Of course.
She refused to wear anything else. So we went to Kroger with her dressed as Chibi Moon. She looks so cute. I like there were people that were similar to our age who were looking like giving us thumbs up like, hey, Good parenting. Is your kid dressed as Chibi
Moon? Great job.
Good job there. All right. Well, that was delightful. To eating cheesecake and saving the world.
Yeah. It's my turn next week, and I want to talk about The Circle, which
all right
we have all watched, but I feel like I can claim it because it's a Netflix show, which is kind of like, you know, my generation. It's my time.
I mean, it's about social media. It's a reality show about social media. I think that it fits into.
I still want to be on it, and I think if we do an episode on it, that'll like really raise my chances of one day being on The Circle.
Okay, all
right. So yeah, we're gonna do The Circle next week.
All right, then.
It's on Netflix if you want to watch along, play along.
Yes. It's very good, I will say.
Yeah. I even got our parents to watch it, so.
Well, thank you both. I enjoyed talking about Sailor Moon. Yes. That was fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch more of it. I better, because I bought a whole season so that I can watch a bunch of it, so.
Last March, I think it was, they brought the Sailor Moon musical, I think for the first time ever, to America, and I got to see it here in New York, and it was the most amazing. I waited for that night since I was probably 12 years old, and it was a culmination of so much love.
Since you were watching those VHS subs that we bought from sketchy sellers online.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. You can tweet at us at StillBuff, and you can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. Although people are saying that their emails are going back again.
No.
Because I've been getting some emails at...
I'm sorry.
I've been getting some emails at Sawbones. at our Sawbones email, which is fine. Yeah. I read both, so, I mean, I'll get those.
Yeah.
But we really need to get that fixed again. But if you have any suggestions for things we should talk about, you can always tweet at us too at StillBuff. And thank you to Maximum Fun. I didn't thank them yet. To MaximumFun.org. Wonderful podcast. Check them out. Comedy and culture. You know that thing. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am still buffering.
And
I am too. Should we change it to we?
I don't know.
We are too. We not I. See, that feels like the spirit of Sailor Moon.
There you go.
We will punch you.
Hey, J-Keith.
Hey, Helen. I hear you have a true-false quiz you want me to finish.
I do. Here we begin. We host a trivia game show podcast on the Max Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself.
True.
Correct. The show is all about celebrity guests answering trivia questions about things J-Keith enjoys.
False. We sometimes don't talk about baseball or cats.
Thank God. It's questions about things they enjoy. Next, we bring on surprise experts every episode.
True.
Correct. Final question. It's just the two of us sitting alone with these guests.
False.
Correct. We have a live audience at the Angel City Brewery. See? You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month. And if you don't listen, you can go fact yourself.
True.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.